Day 81. Numbers, chapters 34 through 36.
Chapter 34. Land Inheritance. God spoke to Moses, "Command the people of Israel, tell them, when you enter Canaan, these are the borders of the land you are getting as an inheritance. Your southern border will take in some of the wilderness of Zin where it touches Edom. It starts in the east at the Dead Sea, curves south of Scorpion Pass and on to Zin, continues south of Kadesh Barnea, then to Hazar Adar and on to Asmon, where it takes a turn to the northwest to the Brook of Egypt and on to the Mediterranean Sea. Your western border will be the Mediterranean Sea. Your northern border runs on a line from the Mediterranean Sea to Mount Hor, and from Mount Hor to Lebo Hamath, connects to Zedad, continues to Ziphron, and ends at Hazar Enon. This is your northern border. Your eastern border runs on a line from Hazar Enon to Shechem. The border goes south from Shechem to Riblah, to the east of Ain, and continues along the slopes east of the Sea of Galilee. The border then follows the Jordan River and ends at the Dead Sea. This is your land with its four borders." Moses then commanded the people of Israel, "This is the land. Divide up the inheritance by lot. God has ordered it to be given to the 9.5 tribes. The tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have already received their inheritance. The two tribes and the half-tribe got their inheritance east of Jordan Jericho, facing the sunrise." God spoke to Moses, "These are the men who will be in charge of distributing the inheritance of the land: Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun. Assign one leader from each tribe to help them in distributing the land. Assign these: Caleb, son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Judah; Shemuel, son of Amihud, from the tribe of Simeon; Eliad, son of Kislon, from the tribe of Benjamin; Bukai, son of Joglai, leader from the tribe of Dan; Hanael, son of Ephod, leader from the tribe of Manasseh, son of Joseph; Kemuel, son of Shiftan, leader from the tribe of Ephraim, son of Joseph; Elisaphan, son of Parnak, leader from the tribe of Zebulun; Paltiel, son of Asen, leader from the tribe of Issachar; Ahiad, son of Shalomai, leader from the tribe of Asher; Pedahel, son of Amihud, leader of the tribe of Naphtali. These are the men God commanded to hand out the assignments of land inheritance to the people of Israel in the country of Canaan. Chapter 35. Cities for Levites and Asylum Cities. Then God spoke to Moses on the plains of Moab at Jordan Jericho, "Command the people of Israel to give the Levites, as their part of the total inheritance, towns to live in. Make sure there is plenty of pasture around the towns. Then they will be well taken care of, with towns to live in and pastures for their cattle, flocks, and other livestock. The pasture surrounding the Levites' towns is to extend 1,500 feet in each direction from the city wall. The outside borders of the pasture are to measure 3,000 feet on each of the four sides, east, south, west, and north, with the town at the center. Each city will be supplied with pasture. Six of these towns that you give the Levites will be asylum cities, to which anyone who accidentally kills another person may flee for asylum. In addition, you will give them 42 other towns, 48 towns in all, together with their pastures. The towns that you give the Levites from the common inheritance of the people of Israel are to be taken in proportion to the size of each tribe: many towns from a tribe that has many, few from a tribe that has few." God spoke to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel. Tell them, when you cross the Jordan River into the country of Canaan, designate your asylum cities, towns to which a person who accidentally kills someone can flee for asylum. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that the alleged murderer won't be killed until he can appear before the community in court. Provide six asylum cities. Designate three of the towns to the east side of the Jordan, the other three in Canaan proper. Asylum cities for the people of Israel, for the foreigner, and for any occasional visitors or guests. Six asylum cities to run to for anyone who accidentally kills another. But if the killer has used an iron object, that's just plain murder. He's obviously a murderer and must be put to death. Or if he has a rock in his hand big enough to kill and the man dies, That's murder. He's a murderer and must be put to death. Or if he's carrying a wooden club heavy enough to kill and the man dies, that's murder. He's a murderer and must be put to death. In such cases, the avenger has a right to kill the murderer when he meets him. He can kill him on the spot. And if out of sheer hatred, a man pushes another or from ambush throws something at him and he dies, or angrily hits him with his fist and kills him, that's murder. He must be put to death. The avenger has a right to kill him when he gets him. If, however, he impulsively pushes someone and there is no history of hard feelings, or he impetuously picks up something and throws it, or he accidentally drops a stone tool, a maul or hammer, say, and it hits and kills someone he didn't even know was there, and there's no suspicion that there was bad blood between them, the community is to judge between the killer and the avenger following these guidelines. It's the task of the community to save the killer from the hand of the avenger. The community is to return him to his asylum city to which he fled. He must stay there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the murderer leaves the asylum city to which he has fled, and the avenger finds him outside the borders of his asylum city, the avenger has a right to kill the murderer, and he's not considered guilty of murder. So it's important that he stay in his asylum city until the death of the high priest. After the death of the high priest, he is free to return to his own place. These are the procedures for making judgments from now on, wherever you live. Anyone who kills another may be executed only on the testimony of eyewitnesses, but no one can be executed on the testimony of only one witness. Don't accept bribe money in exchange for the life of a murderer. He's guilty and deserves the death penalty. Put him to death. And don't accept bribe money for anyone who has fled to an asylum city so as to permit him to go back and live in his own place before the death of the high priest. Don't pollute the land in which you live. Murder pollutes the land. The land can't be cleaned up of the blood of murder except through the blood of the murderer. Don't desecrate the land in which you live. I live here too. I, God, live in the same neighborhood with the people of Israel. Chapter 36. The Daughters of Zelophehad. The heads of the ancestral clan of Gilead, son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, they were from the clans of the descendants of Joseph, approached Moses and the leaders, who were heads of the families and the people of Israel. They said, "When God commanded my master to hand over the inheritance lands by lot to the people of Israel, my master was also commanded by God to hand over the inheritance land of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. But what happens if they marry into another tribe and the people of Israel? Their inheritance land will be taken out of our ancestral tribe and get added into the tribe into which they married. And then, when the year of Jubilee comes for the people of Israel, their inheritance will be lumped in with the inheritance of the tribe into which they married. Their land will be removed from our ancestors' inheritance." Moses, at God's command, issued this order to the people of Israel. What the tribe of the sons of Joseph says is right. This is God's command to Zelophehad's daughters. They are free to marry anyone they choose, as long as they marry within their ancestral clan. The inheritance land of the people of Israel must not get passed around from tribe to tribe. No, keep the tribal inheritance land in the family. Every daughter who inherits land, regardless of the tribe she is in, must marry a man from within her father's tribal clan. Every Israelite is responsible for making sure the inheritance stays within the ancestral tribe. No inheritance land may be passed from tribe to tribe. Each tribe of the people of Israel must hold tight to its own land. Zelophehad's daughters did just as God commanded Moses. Mahla, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, Zelophehad's daughters, all married their cousins on their father's side. They married within the families of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance lands stayed in their father's family. These are the commands and regulations that God commanded through the authority of Moses to the people of Israel on the plains of Moab at Jordan Jericho.
Psalm 38.
A David Psalm. Take a deep breath, God. Calm down. Don't be so hasty with your punishing rod. Your sharp-pointed arrows of rebuke draw blood. My backside smarts from your caning. I've lost 20 pounds in 2 months because of your accusation. My bones are brittle as dry sticks because of my sin. I'm swamped by my bad behavior, collapsed under gunny sacks of guilt. The cuts in my flesh stink and grow maggots because I've lived so badly. And now, I'm flat on my face, feeling sorry for myself morning to night. All my insides are on fire. My body is a wreck. I'm on my last legs. I've had it. My life is a vomit of groans. Lord, my longings are sitting in plain sight. My groans an old story to you. My heart's about to break. I'm a burned out case. Cataracts blind me to God and good. Old friends avoid me like the plague. My cousins never visit. My neighbors stab me in the back. My competitors blacken my name. Devoutly they pray for my ruin. But I'm deaf and mute to it all. Ears shut, mouth shut. I don't hear a word they say. Don't speak a word in response. What I do, God, is wait for you. Wait for my Lord, my God. You will answer. I wait and pray so they won't laugh me off, won't smugly strut off when I stumble. I'm on the edge of losing it. The pain in my gut keeps burning. I'm ready to tell my story of failure. I'm no longer smug in my sin. My enemies are alive and in action, a lynch mob after my neck. I give out good and get back evil from God-haters who can't stand a God-lover. Don't dump me, God. My God, don't stand me up. Hurry and help me. I want some wide open space in my life.
1. Don't desecrate the land in which you live. I live here too. What will you do with this command, with this knowledge of God? 2. In what way is your life's story similar to the psalmist's? In what way is it different?